We are looking to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. We're going to start at verse 32. How important are the final words of an individual as they are preparing to die? Very valuable, aren't they? In fact, we see that by a life that is tempered with difficulties and trials and victories, we find that the final comments of an individual, we find that the experiences of life shape those final comments. And in that final time, their hearts are open to those that are communicating with because they want to share their heart for one final time. And so we would have to say that probably the final sayings of an individual truly reveal the intents and the desires of an individual's heart. And as we come to the place of the Lord Jesus upon the cross of Calvary, we have recorded for us seven sayings of the cross. And as these are the final words that he gives on the final day of his life upon the earth in the flesh, we hold to those. But what is so brilliantly given and so well put is that we are finding here on this day, we're finding that God's justice and his wrath is being poured out fully upon his Son. But yet at the same time, we're seeing the greatest opportunity of love and mercy and forgiveness. It's astounding how the two opposing powers that are so powerful, that are so out of our control, but yet they meet and collide at the cross. But yet Jesus remains victorious still today. Amen? And so as we look at these verses, I want to remind you that we are covering this, all of these sayings upon the cross for this month. But I want to remind you that on Good Friday at 7 p.m., we're going to be here worshiping on Good Friday. And I hope that you will bring a friend, because we're going to be talking about the greatest love story ever written. And that's going to be our theme for Good Friday. And I hope that you'll come, and I hope that you'll bring a friend with you. So as we prepare to start in our text this morning, Luke chapter 23, verse 32. I hope you'll follow along with me there. There were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord, I ask you, forgive me my sin, and as you prepare your words in my mouth today, may you speak to our hearts to strengthen, to encourage, to reveal to those who do not know you as their Savior that there truly is forgiveness of sin and salvation available to any and all who will trust in you. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving us life. And as we examine your word today, teach us to forgive as you have forgiven us. May we be faithful to you. May we be faithfully seeking you. And by your grace and by your mercy, we love you and we continue to serve you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we see, do we need forgiveness? I think that if any of us would be honest with ourselves and with each other, we all need forgiveness, don't we? We offend, we upset, we hurt, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. I'll get it right there. We often strike out in times of pain and hurt. It's not natural for us to extend forgiveness to those that have hurt us. But let's be honest, we cannot forgive until we first have been offended or hurt. Now, that seems odd, doesn't it? I would rather forgive those that I like. I'd rather forgive those that I love. I'd rather forgive those that I can stand. But God doesn't call us to do that, does he? He calls us to forgive those that do not deserve it. When we look, this is the very central theme. This is all that time had been leading up to, was right here on the cross, that the King of Glory, the Creator of the universe, the Lamb of God, was coming to lay down His life for you and me. All of this started in the Garden of Eden. As Adam and Eve was created, they walked among the garden, they walked with the Lord, and as they see, everything was created perfectly until the time and place came that they rebelled against God, introducing sin to all mankind. We have inherited sin in our human nature, in our fleshly nature, but then also we have participated in that same sin by choice and by our actions. And as a result, we face sickness, we face trials, we face death, we face famine and difficulties and plagues, and all of these things that we suffer today is a result of our sin. And because of that, we have a sin problem. But God has a sin solution. Amen? And because of those things, because we need help, the material blessings that we gain all throughout life are only temporary. We get a new home, we grow in our family, we're looking for a new home. We get a new car, and before long, it's broke down, needs work, and needs repair, and we're wanting a newer, better, shinier, and faster. Physical blessings, they will wear out, but the blessings of God, the gift of forgiveness, never tires, never ceases, and never ends. And because of God's death, sending His Son to die on the cross of Calvary, because of His death, we have been given, have been offered forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life. We cannot really separate forgiveness of sin and salvation from each other. Let's just talk about what forgiveness is. Forgiveness, by general definition, we're going to get into the biblical definition here in just a minute, and it's very similar. The general definition of forgiveness is simply a conscious and deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance toward a person or a group. So you make up in your mind, when you've been hurt or offended by a person or a group, that you make a conscious and deliberate decision that you're going to release those feelings of anger and resentment and vengeance toward the one that hurt you. Oh, did I already lose you? You know, people spend thousands and thousands of dollars to go to counseling, seeking psychological help. And many times they find out the problem is they're bitter. They're angry. They're hateful. Why? Because they hold to resentment. It turns them into a bitter soul. And it's a bottomless hole that they get sucked in. And they have difficulty getting out because they refuse to forgive. Think of that for a moment. Many marriages, many homes are destroyed because someone's not willing to forgive. Maybe both are not willing to forgive. Churches split because so-and-so hurt my feelings and I'm not going there anymore. Don't you think God is worth more than that? I've always used this illustration. People look at me like I have a third eye or something, but it seems to make sense to me. If I go to work and somebody makes me mad and makes me upset, they made me mad. I'm not going to love my wife anymore. That's the dumbest thing you've ever heard, isn't it? So why is it that when somebody makes me mad, I'm not going to be faithful to God anymore and go and serve Him and love Him? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Are you with me? God's worth more than that, isn't He? But He calls us to much more than that. Amen. He calls us to forgive. In this scripture, when God is Jesus is crying out, God the Father, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. At this point in time, as Jesus is speaking, He has already gone through what many people could never survive. He has already gone all night long, has been all up all night long in prayer, in serious prayer, in stressful prayer. If you remember, as He was praying, He asked the disciples to pray with Him. They were tired. They give up on Him. They fell asleep. So He prayed on His own. He went to the Father three times. There's any other way to let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done. And in a time of prayer was so stressful, knowing all that the cross hold, what had held him for him, and all that was coming, and the sin debt that he was going to bear upon his own body, upon himself. He suffered and sweat great drops of blood while he prayed. Then they arrested him, they mocked him, went through a mock trial, they beat him, and then they scourged him. Very few people would survive this alone. And now he had to carry his own cross, being crushed under the weight of it. He falls, and a man named Simeon was called upon to carry the cross for him. As they walk to the top of the hill, they lay him upon the cross. He didn't fight him. He didn't resist. They nail him to the cross, and they raise him up high into the air. And now his only response, not anger, not bitter resentment, not cursing, which every one of us deserve, but yet, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. What a moment of wisdom. What a moment of boundless love. What a moment that we cling to, that moment of forgiveness. The hope that he will cleanse us from all of our sin. The hope that he will restore us once again. This was the dream, this was the hope of all of Israel. That they had been waiting the long-awaited Messiah that would come and make things right once again. That would set aside all the mistakes of a nation that had gone awry, that had left their one and only true love. But yet, Jesus has arrived once again to offer forgiveness. Now, in this, some would stop and say that, well, then, does this mean that Jesus is offering forgiveness to everyone, and so at the end, he's just going to forgive everyone, and everyone's going to go to heaven? No, the answer is no. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, he reminds us that it's for by grace you have been saved through faith. That faith is an exercising of you trusting in the Lord Jesus, believing on him, and relying upon him to be the only one and the only way that you can be forgiven and that you can receive eternal life. So this is not a blanket statement that will just simply allow everyone to enter into heaven, but yet he is offering forgiveness even to those who were crucifying him on that day. The Roman soldiers, the Pharisees, the scribes, the common people that knew who he was but were too afraid to speak up that day. Those that judged him and condemned him to die. The priest that stirred up the whole congregation and the whole crowd. Instead of releasing Barabbas to them, they demanded, "Keep Barabbas and we want to crucify Jesus." He offers forgiveness for all. That forgiveness is offered to us today. How do we receive that forgiveness? We cannot experience salvation outside of God's forgiveness. In a sense, that exactly is what forgiveness is the forgiving of our sins, the forgiveness or the release. Now, here's the biblical definition of forgiveness, very similar, but I want you to see how it ties into our spiritual transformation, is that God is releasing or the dismissal of our sin and the consequences and the charges against us because of our sin. So it's in a sense, it's a wiping away of all debt that was held to us. You know, every sense that I had heard it, it makes such great sense. So often we stop and say, well, God, if you'll just forgive me, then I'm not going to sin anymore. Okay? And just, if you just forgive me now, and we'll just call that good. You know, I don't really want to go to church. I don't really want to be religious. I still have all these other things that I want to do. But just forgive me and let me go to heaven when I die. That's what I want. Folks, that's not salvation. Can I encourage you in that? That's self-serving manipulation of God. And he's too big. He has too much power. And he has all authority. You can't manipulate him. It doesn't work that way. Amen? So often people come and say, well, Pastor, I've got my own idea. I've got my own way of doing things. Well, that will work here at home. You know, maybe it'll work at your house. Maybe your wife will let you do that. Maybe that works at work. Maybe you own the company. You can do what you want. But when we enter into heaven, that belongs to God. and he decides how we will come, how we will enter. And the only way that we can is that our sin debt is paid. Amen? And he's the only one that paid it. He's the only one that provided for it. But then it's necessary for us to receive that forgiveness of sin. To ask in confession of sin and repentance, but then receive that forgiveness. Wiping away, wiping our record clean once and for all. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I had a student ask me one time and said, well, you know, if you keep going far enough east, you're going to go all the way around the globe and come back to where you started, right? Well, in this, we're not talking a limitation to just the globe. We're going to keep going east and west. We're going to go opposite directions for all eternity. Isn't that a glorious thing to realize that when Jesus forgives us of our sin, there's no loopholes, there's no secret diaries. It's gone, it's done, and it's finished. Now, this isn't a release that we go back and do more sin, amen, but we go on to a deeper relationship with God and enjoying the freedom and liberty that we have in Christ because of that forgiveness of sin. John chapter 3, verse 16. Why is it that we must receive this forgiveness? Because you need it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Right? So all these people that keep saying, oh, God just wants to condemn. You're too judgmental and all of these things. Yes, he is a righteous judge, but yet he is your only hope of salvation too. He who believes, and here's the basis of this is why we need to receive, is that he who believes in him is not condemned. Romans 8 chapter 1 reminds us of this and echoes that for those who are found, there's no condemnation for those who are found in Christ. And so he who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so back to my credit card illustration. If you maxed out your credit card and you call the company and say, you know what, could we just call this good? I won't use it anymore. I'll just cut it up and we'll just call this good. What are they going to do? They might laugh at you, but they're going to say, yeah, it doesn't work that way. You pay your bill, right? That's the same way that it is with God. When we realize, oh no, I'm a sinner and I'm lost, well, I'm going to be real good from now on. No, not going to work. Why? Because you already are a sinner. You're already guilty. You already have a sin debt that needs to be paid. And guess what? You can't pay it. The only payment you can pay is eternity in a place called hell, separated from God forever and ever. You see the problem? But there's a solution. Jesus has offered forgiveness. He will save you. And more than that, he will pay your sin debt. He will wipe that clean once and for all. He offers forgiveness because we all need his forgiveness. Now here's my third point. Do I have to forgive others? Some of you are kind of glaring at somebody next to you right now, aren't you? Do I have to forgive everybody? Well, let's see what God says. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Do you ever notice that when God gives us a challenge or a command, that we stop and think, well, okay, he says I need to forgive. Let's see. I can forgive this one. We're not going to forgive that one. We'll forgive this one. But then he lays in there a stipulation that we can't escape. We are to forgive according to the forgiveness that Christ has given us. Have you been forgiven by the Lord Jesus today? Then you forgive. We don't ask who, we don't ask why, but we forgive. Amen? Because we have been forgiven. And we forgive how much? According to all that Christ has forgiven you. Those who are legalistic and those who will point out those that are struggling and beat them down and point them out and humiliate them, I'm not so sure they've been forgiven. Because those that have been forgiven, they know the pain. They know the suffering. They know the shame. But more than that, they know the freedom and the joy of being a child of God. Amen? And we want to invite. Folks, I want to tell you something. You're living in the world that people automatically assume that you're judging them. They automatically assume that you hate them. You're going to have to work. You're going to have to take some criticism. You're going to have to take some blaming that's not even yours to take to convince a lost and dying world that you don't hate them. You're going to have to forgive. This may be one of the greatest opportunities for us to reach the lost world that we live in today. We're living in a society that they want to destroy anything that they don't agree with. And folks, we could be brutal and cruel the same way and try to destroy those who do not think the way that we do. But folks, we've been called to forgive. And I got a feeling that they may give us many opportunities that we need to forgive. Are you with me? What do you think about forgiveness and something? Forgiveness may seem like weakness or letting an undeserving person win. But it has no connection to weakness or even to emotions. Instead, forgiveness is an act of will. Forgiveness is not granted because a person deserves to be forgiven. No one deserves to be forgiven. Forgiveness is deliberate, is a deliberate act of love, mercy, and grace. Forgiveness is a decision not to hold something against another person despite what he or she has done to you. Whew, that's tough, isn't it? Let me read on. Forgiveness does not dismiss justice. So often we think that, well, if I forgive them, they're going to get away with it. Maybe, maybe not. Forgiveness does not dismiss justice. When we forgive, that does not mean that the crime that has been committed, that we are condoning. It does not mean that the offender will not be punished or face consequences. But what it does mean is that punishment will not come by our hand. Punishment will come from the authorities and those, the powers that are in place to exercise justice. Or we simply just release the acting in revenge or getting even and allowing God to exercise justice in His time and in His way. Do I have to forgive others? God calls us to. You ever notice that it's probably easier to forgive someone that you don't even know? Because if someone is closer to you, the offenses run much deeper, don't they? Yes. The things that we say, the things that we do, cut much deeper to those that are the closest to us, right? Because their hearts are open to us. And so how we handle those hearts is very important. It's difficult to show forgiveness to those that hurt us the deepest. But yet, folks, it is not impossible. Amen? My last point. How can I forgive myself? You ever struggle with difficulties of looking at your past and automatically assuming that God cannot use or may not use you? I think many are being beaten up by Satan's false conviction of guilt that we carry around with us, that God has released us from as His children, okay? We must accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior, surrender our lives to Him to experience that freedom from guilt. That guilt will continue to plague you until you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. He pays and wipes away that sin debt. But then if as a child of God that you have done those things, maybe you're still struggling with that guilt stirring inside. Maybe you're still dealing with those sins that are way in the past. May I encourage you that we also, as we forgive others, must also forgive ourselves. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 9, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, some would say, well, he's talking to lost people. No, John's talking to believers. We are still in the flesh. We're still going to deal with difficulties. We're still going to deal with failures. But we can continue without guilt. How? By repenting. coming to the Lord quickly. But when we say that we have no sin, then we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we're living outside of God's will when we're allowing sin to have its way and ignoring it. So what do? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and then cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that amazing? He forgives, then He cleanses, and then He draws us into Himself once again. You know, Satan is going to do everything he can to drive you away. God is doing all that is necessary to bring you home. Don't allow Satan to use a false sense of guilt when God has already forgiven. Trust Him. Take Him at His word. The same way that you did in salvation. Many of you probably felt the same way that I did. Is, God, I don't deserve Your forgiveness, but I don't want to go to a place called hell. I want to be with You. And so, Lord, please forgive me. And He did. And He did. It was simple as that. It was as simple as that. Turning my heart over to Him. More or less trusting in Him. Not what I can do, but trusting what He has already done. And my friend, we took Him at His word. When we forgive ourselves, we do the same thing. We take Him at His word. I don't know why He loves us so much. I think we're going to enjoy all of eternity learning why. But I'm thankful that He does. And folks, we get an opportunity to share that love back to Him. I want to ask you a few questions that I want you to examine your hearts today. Are you willing to receive the forgiveness of God for your sins today? If He's convicting you, if He's challenging you, that you understand that you're lost and you need to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, would you do that today? There's going to be people here that can talk with you after service, people that can guide you and direct you in the Scriptures and make that known to you today. Are you willing to offer forgiveness to someone who has hurt you? This is where it's a tough one. You may have been hurt deeply. Are you willing to offer that forgiveness and allow God to exercise His judgment and His justice and His time and His way? Are you willing to accept the forgiveness of God and be free from guilt and to grow in your walk with the Lord and grow in ministry? Where are you today, church? Where is it that you are today? Do you need forgiveness? Do you need to give forgiveness? Or do you need to claim it as your very own? Let's sing together, Amazing Grace.